Morning. It is my pleasure to always my pleasure to be here. I find this to be an amazing church. People remember my name and my face. I'm always shocked. And I'm always thankful because you always remember me in your prayers as well. So that means a lot to me. So with that said, I am very glad to just be able to present to you the gospel. In particular, just encourage you in the Lord to help you be strengthened today, to help you be blessed. We're going to go a certain direction, right? So I may ask you to do something that's awkward and weird, right? But it's going to be more awkward for me, more weird for me. So you will be able to join me then in this doing. So I'm still planning on doing this. But with that said, I really want to encourage you to do something, but I would really like that to be an outflow of something you've come to know deeply. That said, let's pray. Father, we are amazed of how great you are and how wonderful you are and how, God, you have stored up praise in the hearts of children. You've stored up praise in our hearts. Lord, we pray that you would fill this room with your presence and that every word be your word and that every thought be your thought. And that your will would be accomplished and that you would see your purpose done in our hearts and our lives this morning to the glory of your Son, in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the things I said was, I really want you to be about doing something, but I want that doing not to be a checklist of things to add to your other things to do during the week. But I really want this to be an outflow of a really deep knowing, of a really deep coming to understanding of a truth. And from that truth, your heart is so full of it, so full of that truth, that you start doing these things. We will find our text particular this morning in Colossians 3:16. You have a moment, you could turn to it. It's Colossians 3:16. It's a tiny book, tiny letter. And this is what it says. You know, wait till the ruffling of things he said. So this is what it says. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. One of the things about that, just that one sentence, that's what we'll look at this morning. One of the things about it is that it's very easy to let the word let there be a passive understanding or have a passive attitude for you here. In a sense that let this happen, kind of like the way we understand it naturally, is how you let something happen, you don't get involved. But it's not meant to mean that here the way we usually mean the word let, right? That was a sentence at all. It just said, it's not meant to be passive. It's not meant for it to be something that you kind of sit aside and you kind of just allow it to happen, not paying any attention to it. What it really is a commandment to us. It's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. This is God telling us what we ought to do. And it's a twofold command. And in one sense, it does mean to allow this to happen to you, right? The word of God is powerful. It is able to change. It is transforming. And so, in a sense, this let is saying, don't fight this word. Let this word transform you. Let it work in your heart. Paul kind of uses this same language in 1 Thessalonians. He says to the Thessalonians, he says, and when we shared the word of God with you, and you received that word of God, which you heard from us. You were hearing the word of God spoken from us to you. And it says that you accepted that word as though it came from God, not from men. You accepted it as it really is the word of God. And he says, which is working in you believers. So you're hearing this word, right? You're in the presence of this word, and this word that you hear, that you mixed with faith, is working in you. The word of God is working in you. It's working in me. It's working in you. If you have absolutely nothing else to be joyful about, the Word of God is working, and it's working in you. Of all the things, of all the universe, of all how great the things that God has made, He has decided to make His Word work in you. And sometimes people wonder, you ever wonder, I know I have many times, is God doing anything in my life? Anything at all? Because you look on the outside and absolutely nothing's changing, right? The family situation is not changing. The personal situation, absolutely nothing is changing. The Word of God is working in you. He's absolutely working in you. He is, so it's not a question of whether if. It's the fact that He is. And in that then, I can take joy and I can find delight. One of the pictures we could think is like a construction team or a company, right? And they come in and they're working on the inside of a house, right? Or the inside of the building. And nothing in the outside has changed, right? And you've been in there before and it's nothing special. But this team is now, it's working in it. And you walk in there and you're like, whoa, wow, this is completely different. This is absolutely new. The Word of God is working in you. We had a guy, because we need some work done in our house, and he walks in and he's like, oh, man, it looked a lot smaller on the outside than it does here on the inside. And this is what God wants to do with you. That though on the outside things may look small and unchanging, and life may not be the grandeur you would have thought, and things may not be working the way, but on the inside, God is making an amazing space and room for Himself to live in. This is the will of God. And it's clear what God wants to do in us. Right? It's clear. It's not confusing. God doesn't want us confused about what He's doing in us. He wants us, above all else, to look and to be more like Jesus Christ. That's it. In everything He's working in you to create in you His Son. Perfectly formed to be everything that He intends you to be is to look like Jesus Christ. And this is why I think we find in this reference where Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. And I don't think by this he means the entire scripture. I think specifically the reference here, used once, I believe, he's not referencing the entire scripture, but he's referencing the life, the death, the resurrection, and the power of Jesus Christ now, existing at the right hand of God in power, no longer in weakness, in human weakness, but in power. And this is what Paul speaks about when he starts off the chapter, actually, right? In verses 1 to 4. And here is what he says. He says, if you then have been raised with Christ, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind then on things that are above, not on things on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. This is the word that he's talking about. When he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Let that word dwell in you. Hearing it by faith, let that word about Jesus Christ dwell in you. Second way I think we can understand this command is to seek out that word. So in a sense, that word is happening to you as you hear it and as you believe it. And in another sense, go get that word. Don't be passive about that word. Get the word about Jesus Christ's accomplishments for you. Get the word about his death for you. Get the word about his resurrection for you. Seek it out. Long for it. Pursue it. Get that word. Don't be passive about that. But go get it. Go gain understanding. Go seek it out. And in this, so in this whole chapter, in this whole thing, Paul starts to reveal to us what that word means. That Christ word, that word regarding Christ. That because of this message, because Christ's death for you, it revolves, it comes back to your very own life. So then it's not just like Christ and all that he's done and all that he's accomplished. Yes, he has done great and mighty things. But yes, all that he has done for you now, he will also do in you. And this is why you ought to go after this word. Because of this message, we gain, we understand that there is a putting off, a putting aside, right? Because Christ put away things. Christ did dealt away with things. And so then we ought to put aside coveting and lust and maliciousness and evil intent and slander and obscenity, right? And all of these things then, all of which you allowed in your life and you allowed to have free reign, is appropriate then to do away with these things. You're now dead to those things. Why? Because Christ died and put to death those things. And in that same message about Christ's death and resurrection is also a putting on. Right? So there's a taking off, and there's also now a putting on. And here's what that means. What that means is that everything that Jesus Christ has done, he will now do in you. Everything. In Christ. Christ will bear with persecution in you. In Christ. Right? He will renounce sin. Christ will renounce sin in you. He will prioritize and obey the word of God in you. Christ was raised, and so now he will raise you. He died to sin, and so now he has put sin to death in you. He is seated at the right hand of God, and so now he sits you at the right hand of the Father. He lives forevermore, and so now he will ensure in you that you live forevermore. He is to be glorified one day above all else, and he will be sure in you he will glorify you as well. We will put these things on because Christ has put these things on. So the one thing to know, and this took me too long, is that we tend to look at these things as future, and yes, there is a future coming that is amazing, and we ought to look forward to it. But these things that I've spoken about to God are finished. These things are finished. Let that truth sink into your heart. For God, this is done. This is not a work that God is going to. God has finished this work in Christ Jesus. In his resurrection, God has set it all and has completed it. And that includes your part. And so let that truth dwell in you. Jesus has accomplished what we could not accomplish, and he did this for you. And he will work it into you. Let that truth sit in you. Let that truth dwell in you. That Christ has accomplished this work, and he has finished it. And so if you don't know anything else, if your biblical abilities and your ability is not that great, and you don't know too much about the scripture, you can't even find the last book of the Bible, right? If you don't even know that, but know this. Set your mind on this message about Jesus Christ. Let that make its home in you. Let that dwell in you. Let that be richly living in you. One of the things to know about this is that Paul is not just talking to you specifically, which he is, but he's also talking to the church at large, to the Colossians here. And so in another sense, the command then goes to the church of Colossians, make sure the word is dwelling richly in the church. Colossians, Church of Colossians, be about understanding and gaining knowledge and knowing all the things that Christ has obtained for you. So in another sense, then, Grace Bible Fellowship, ensure that the message of Jesus is dwelling richly among you. Ensure then that it sits here in your hearts. Ensure that you are gaining wisdom and knowledge about this. That if that's not happening, as a church, you need to stand. We need more knowledge, more wisdom of what Christ has accomplished for us. And it says to do so richly. And it means exactly what it sounds like. And all the resources, having no hindrances in every aspect of heart and mind, craving with your emotions, desiring with yourself to know more deeply all that Jesus has done. And it is in this word that is dwelling in you, this word about Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, all that he has accomplished for you, and removing you out of this world and bringing you into the world of God, and killing sin and freeing you to put you under the righteousness of God. Doing all of these things, right? Transforming you and making you into the image. Bringing you to glory. I mean, all of these things. Adopting you as sons. Giving you his kingdom. All of these things he's accomplished. Let those dwell in you richly. And it's important to know here that this dwelling in you, that we're exhorted to teach one another and to encourage one another with this. And he's not talking about pastors here. Though pastors do this, right? They preach this message, right? And he's not talking about Sunday mornings, and he's not talking about Sunday school, right? And he's not talking about leading a small group or a Bible study. He's talking one to another. He's saying, share this message among each other. Encourage each other with these things. Over the phone, over coffee, over regular conversation, over just walking along. Here's what I came to. Here's what I understand. Here's something I found out about Jesus. One to another. Share it. Encourage each other. One of the ways God pictures this really well is in Deuteronomy 11, where he gives this command to the Israelites. And he says to them, fix these words of mine. Fix them in your minds, right? He says, tie them as symbols in your hands, in your foreheads. And he says, teach your children. And he goes on to say, talk about them. When you're sitting around the dinner table having dinner, talk about it, right? When you're walking down the street and you see your neighbor, share it with them. He's telling them, like, live life engaging with each other about my words. Tell your family. Tell your friends, your cousins, people who stop by, talk to them. And one of the things you could walk away with at this moment in the sermon is that this is a message about evangelism. Yes and no. Yes and no. If by evangelism we mean going out and sharing with unbelievers the truth of the gospel, this is not the message for that. Though we ought to, that's not what I'm encouraging. But if by evangelism we mean encouraging and sharing the gospel and all that Jesus has obtained with one another, with other believers, then yes. Yes. Yes, that's what I mean. Because one of the false lies that the devil tells us or makes us want to believe is as if the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a stepping stone to greater revelation. As if what Christ has done is accomplished is the step to something else. It is not. It is all that there is. There is no more to know. are transformed. We are renewed by this message, by digging deeper, by delving deeper, by engaging more and more and more into what Christ has done. It's not a step to something else. It's not a step to a list of to-dos. It's it. It's what God has done. It's what God has accomplished. It's from it that we gain everything we ought to gain. It's from what Christ has done that we understand how we ought to live. That's what the whole chapter is about. That's why Paul starts with that. Like, if then you have died, right? And then he goes on to say, then here's how you ought to live, right? Christ died to sin. So why would I engage in something that Christ died for? Now, Christ lives with God. So guess what? And I'm going to live in the power of God. Encourage each other with this. Build up one another with this. For a while, I worked with mental health, and it was one of my jobs to do, like, intake is what they called it. And so people would come in with issues, and my job was to try to understand where they fit in this super thick book of mental health, all kinds of things. And I forget what it's called, but this book was thick. I knew what it was called back then. But and it was trying to understand where their mind was at, where their emotions were at, and you had to write it out, right? And then you had to determine whether they needed hospitalization or not. That was my job. I loved it. Yeah, I loved the whole thing. I remember one time this elderly lady walked in, and she was sad, and I took her because none of my coworkers took her because we knew if this was bad, this was going to be an all-nighter. This was going to go long. And I went in, I sat with her, and she starts telling me about how she's depressed and she's discouraged and just all of these things. And she's talking, but in the middle of her conversation, she brings up church and God and Christ. And then I come to realize this person is a real Christian. And so she's talking, and as she's talking, I would every now and then jump in and says, well, you know what the scripture says, right? You know he says, he'll always be with you. He'll never forsake you, right? And she says, yep, I remember that. And she would bring up something else. And as she would talk, I would come in and I would share with her a scripture, right? The Lord will help you. He will strengthen you. He will uphold you with his righteous right hand. And I remember she says something else and we talk some more. And then she shares a scripture. And then I share a scripture. And then we start talking about what Jesus has done. And I share another scripture. The whole thing just stops. And we're just talking about what Jesus has done and what he's going to do and how he's going to free it. And you just see her face is changing the more we talk. The more we talk, the more we talk, the more her face changes. And eventually she just stops. She takes her cane, slams it on the ground, and she's like, thank you. I've heard everything I needed to hear. And she gets up and she wobbles out of the room with joy on her face. And my coworkers come up to me and they're like, what did you do? We thought for sure you were going to be in there till 6 a.m. And it was like 11 o'clock. They're like, we thought for sure this was going to be a while. What did you tell her? They wouldn't have understood. Because there's something that we have. There's someone that we have that encourages us, whose word is strong enough to keep us, to encourage us, to strengthen us. So they wouldn't have understood. So this is why Paul said admonish one another, right? Share this with one another. And the word admonishing there means to, in this section, means to give caution, to implore, to push, to even pressure. To tell someone something they may not even want to hear, but they need to hear it. It's to talk to someone who's put on the old garments, right, that Christ has done away with. Someone who starts to put those things back on, even though it does not fit you, right? As believers, those things do no longer fit us. You see your faithful believer who's putting it on, and you need to have a discussion with them. You need to caution them. You need to pressure them. You need to talk to them and beg them and beseech them. Put
these things to death because Christ has already put him to death. Not too long ago, an old friend called me. Well, he texted me and asked me for money. I was like, what? This guy never asked me for money. Never. You have never seen him do this. So something's wrong. Immediately. So I text him back. There's no way I'm going to give you anything unless you call me and we get together and talk about what's happening. And we get together. He starts telling me all of these things. And I'm like, put these things to death. Remember what Christ has formed you. Remember what he has made you. Remember you are a new creation. These things are of the old way. You are no longer of this. You are seated with Christ. I beseeched him, put away this sin. We have to be careful when we do this. We have to be wise in doing this, being patient, continuing in love and encouragement, right? Continuing at the same time to pursue righteousness and growth in this other person. And there's a time to feel good, and that's not the time to feel good. That's the time where you're going to say something, and that person may take it personally, but you are not after them feeling good at the moment. You are after their soul's benefit. You are after their growth. You are after Christ being formed in them. So you're going to say something, and it's going to be difficult. But at that moment, that goal is growth in Christ. Finally, Paul says to us to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another. Key word, to one another. To one another. Now it goes to follow that being rich in Christ, right? Being rich in the message of Jesus Christ, grasping, or always grasping at this message, will result in songs coming out of you, right? You have experiences. Everyone who's a believer has experiences. When you come to faith, right? You're thinking about Jesus. Or a message touches your heart and you're thinking about this message. And all of a sudden a song comes to your heart and you find yourself humming that song or thinking about that song. Or you're driving in your car and you just feel a sense that I want to sing songs to God. And you put on songs and you're singing, right? And you're enjoying this moment because the message of what Christ has done is overflowing in you. This is a wellspring of the Spirit of God. This comes from the Word of God and His Holy Spirit working in you. Because the Word without the Spirit brings pride, right? Cuts out love, and brings intellectualism, and emotions without the Word brings emotionalism with no foundation. Because being emotional about Jesus is good. It's good, but when there's no foundation of the Word, it's not good. And so the two go together, and the resulting work of the Spirit and the Word is psalms, hymns. And here's the big one, towards each other, right? I mean, we're used to the idea of singing psalms and hymns to God, and we ought to. This is true. But in Ephesians 5, Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And the result of being filled with the Spirit, he says, is making melody to the Lord with your heart. I'm sorry. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So both. We do both. So what does that look like? Imagine instead of facing us, facing here, And singing songs this way, we turn towards one another and we sing songs towards one another, encouraging each other to love the Lord with one another, encouraging each other to follow after Jesus with these songs. Imagine that. Some of you imagine that and be like, that is not something I ever want to do. That does not sound like fun. But that's a great picture. Remember that thing I said in the beginning? I may want to do in the middle or at the end. This is it. I want you to do something with me. And it's going to be super awkward, but I want you. Some of you already got it. I see your faces. You're like, oh no, what is he doing? Okay, so full disclosure, I can't sing, right? It's just not a gift Jesus gave me. I begged him when I was younger, please, 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 please. He said, nope, it's not for you. And I can attest to it because every time I have a mic before I get up in the pulpit, I make sure it's off so I don't scare people or frighten them. But here's what we're going to do together. We're going to do this together. Because right, it's going to be an awkward moment. Just get comfortable with that, right? It's going to feel awkward. It's going to sound awkward. But if you can do it here, if we can do this together, if I can do this, then we can all, by God's Spirit, do this at home with other people, with other friends. Still stand with me. Stand with me. Oh, you guys actually doing this? Oh, my God. My brother Marcus at the top couldn't put on the song, How Great Is Our God. But here it is. You got to face each other. And so find someone. If there's no one next to you, turn around, face someone. Find somebody. Don't need them. No. Great. All right. So this is it. All right. One of the best parts about it is you have ways to overcome the awkwardness is to be thinking about the God you're singing about. Because it's easy to get just caught up in stuff that's happening, but be thinking about the God you're singing about while you're wanting to encourage this great God to be found in this other person. Right? While you want to encourage this other person to seek after him. So can you put up How Great Is Our God? Yeah, that's good. So we'll start from that and we'll do the chorus, right? Maybe the chorus twice, we'll see. Back to the beginning. Okay, here we go. All right, so we're going to start in three. You can tell I don't know anything about music, right? By now, you should tell me. All right. All right, in three, two, one. All right.
The splendor of our King.
How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's the picture. Encouraging one another, building one another, right? Wanting the other person to know this truth that you've come to know. Yes, we sing to God. And yes, we sing to one another. In college, I met some people who were very much more mature than me in the faith, right? And met this a couple guys, and they were very mature, and they were pastors, and they were speakers, and we ended up rooming together, and they took me underneath their wing, right? And in this moment in life, they started to invite me into the things that they were doing. They invited me to join them, in the chapel where we would just, I mean, they would just get together. We would read scriptures to one another, encourage each other, and then we would sing songs. Then we would pray. And we'd read another script, then we would sing songs back and forth. Right? And then we would encourage each other. Changed my course of life. At that moment, God just began to work in me things that I did not know and did not believe. Completely reformed how I thought, how I sought after God, how I did it in a community. I mean, just everything from that point in my life just pushed me in a certain direction. And it was God working through other people to get together, to sing, to encourage, to correct, to read the word together. We didn't have, right? None of those guys had their churches. They were just starting, right? There were no elders there. There were no deacons. Just us. One another, right? Building up each other. And Paul ends this sentence with, be thankful to God, right? The response to all of this is, God, thank you. Thank you for what you did in Jesus Christ. Thank you for perfectly accomplishing your will through your Son. Thank you for redeeming me, purchasing me from death, purchasing me from Satan, from this world, from sin. Thank you for forming in me your Son and for encouraging other people to do that too. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done and are doing and will do. Let's pray together. God, we thank you. Thank you that your Spirit was in here while we sung how great you are. Thank you that you were encouraging and building us up to remember, to recall, to live in all that Christ has done, all that he has accomplished in us. Stir our hearts towards one another to worship you alongside each other, to worship you with all of our hearts, all of our mind, with our friends, with other believers, in our homes, at coffee shops, at encouraging each other with thankfulness in our hearts. God, do this. And may we experience an outpouring of your Spirit that will transform us and shape our next years. In Christ's name, amen.